It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 157, coming to you like a manager's halftime team pep talk. Shake them up.
Shake them up.
On this week's podcast, money, money, money. We ask how wealth affects people. What happens when you win the lotto or inherit a heap of money? And do people have a hard time holding on to all that big fat cash?
He was born at 8 o'clock in the morning and he was in the yard by 9:30, ready for work. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
How dealing with us hasn't put her in a home for the bewildered yet, we will never know. But Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional, a Scotsman wearing skirts, Maureen has written...
We're going to say kilts.
With badger handbags and calling them kilts. We run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on last week's topic of ghosts, Jerry was in touch many years ago. Can we get some spooky music? Many years ago, on a GAA tour of Ireland at Easter, we were down in Dingle in Kerry. Oh no! After playing a game and spending the night in the pub, drinking until I couldn't drink anymore, I decided it was time to walk the mile or so along the dark country road back to the B&B.
Oh, spooky!
B&Bs! As I was walking down, I could see something white in the middle of the road. The only light was from the moon and the stars, and there weren't any streetlights, because it was Dingle! And all I could hear was the sea. The white thing was just floating in the air and was probably about 20 or 30 yards away. I wasn't too sure what it was, and I was in two minds what to do. Either carry on to the B&B or return to the pub and tell them I couldn't get back to the B&B due to this white thing on the road. So being full of Dutch courage, I decided to carry on. The nearer I got, it was becoming clear it was a human shape and not a cow or something like that. Then I could hear wailing and moaning. Do a bit of wailing and moaning there, will you?
Ooh! Ah. Ooh!
Okay. You're dead. I was beginning to rethink my decision to carry on, and I really should go back to the pub. Good idea. With a cold sweat and thinking to myself, be brave, carry on. Then I got the shock of my life. This white thing was a shirt. The thing wearing the white shirt was our football manager, Willie, from Carrick-on-Shore.
That's the scariest part of this story so far.
Who had left the pub sometime before me and had got lost and decided he would just stay on the side of the road until someone came along. Tell you, the Carrick boys are scary enough in daylight.
Stranger danger, by just waiting at the side of the road. Oh my God. Like, that was a bit anticlimactic. I thought at the start when I heard like, this white thing, I was like, good chance this is going to end now with your man being like, it was a plastic bag. That's honestly where I thought that story was going. Spooky music for nothing. Right, give me more spooky music. Anyway, Connor has a story here. He says, my brother said himself and the lads were staying in a house in Limerick. One night, one of the lads, let's call him Jim, woke up one morning and said he'd seen a woman on the stairs holding a gun. The guy was quite freaked out, but my brother and the other lads laughed and said the guy was just drunk. Roll on a few weeks later, my auntie told him about a crime that happened in that same house back in the 70s. Now, every so often, the Irish Daily Star brings out a little crime book about Ireland and some of the crimes that happened all over the country in years gone by. My brother read the little crime book, and it turns out the house that he lived in Limerick was a crime scene back in the 70s where a woman was brutally murdered and the guy was never caught as he did a runner and died before he was caught. My brother laughed and said it was grand, as she wasn't killed in his room. It was in his housemate's room.
Grand.
That's fucked up, isn't it? Yeah, if you're out walking alone in the dark, we just really want to apologise for scaring you.
Yeah, but lad, it's student accommodation, like.
Ah, yeah. Hey, there's probably worse things that have happened in student accommodation.
Yeah, saw a young one on the stairs, you know. With a Jaeger bomb. Right. Liam was in touch and he claims, much was made of Biddy Early. Everyone in Ireland has heard of Biddy Early and her curse over the Clare hurling team in the lead up to the 1995 All-Ireland final. So she's fairly well known at this stage. Her house, or the ruins of her cottage, was bought by a blowing businessman, and he began renovating the property. Not long into the project, and the 22-ton digger proceeded to spontaneously bust into flames as the lads arrived on site one morning for work. The burnt-out digger is still there, and the place has been left to itself since. This is a true story, and the only reason Clare broke the curse in 1995 is because Gerlach Nan is himself a practicing wizard, both on and off the field.
She's Biddy Early was out with the petrol, lad.
Right.
She was out early. Yeah, come on. Come on, I'll give you some skin, no?
Oh, yeah, all okay, right. Very good. Oh,
sound. Katie was also in touch. She says, I'm a nurse, and I've seen my fair share of weird things around old hospitals, but the strangest thing that ever happened to me happened a few weeks after my nanny died. This was years ago, so I was still a student at the time, and I had to do a placement in a different hospital than I worked in before. On my first shift, it was quiet, and there wasn't a whole pile for me to do, so the staff asked me to tidy up some of the patients' room for them. They sent me into one room where there was a very elderly lady who was blind and very confused. The staff warned me that due to her confusion, she could become quite agitated and aggressive. So to try and not disturb her too much and to call the nurse if I had any problems, I went into the room. She was sleeping, so I quietly tidied around the room.
Tidying.
Ooh.
Oh no.
That is giving a lot of lad shivers about it. When I got near the side of the bed, out of nowhere, the woman sat bolt upright, grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and started singing the song my nanny and granddad used to always sing to me together. Show me the way to go home. That is fucking freaky, you know. When she finished, she said, "You're a great girl," and lay down and went back to sleep. Later on that day, I told my mom what happened, and she said it was fair strange because two letters had come in the door of my nanny's house that day. One was addressed to her, which wasn't too weird because she'd only recently died. But there was also a letter from my granddad, who had been dead 10 years at this stage. Let's be honest, was I scared shitless when it happened? Absolutely. But it was also nice to know that they're probably both looking out for me.
Can I stop and say, right, there was two letters arrived for a couple who were both dead. Is it possible
it's probably Irish Life
are from Vodafone or something like that?
Yeah, it's Irish Life, lad. I'm telling you. What's that thing the bank robs on you about? Mispaid tax or what's that fucking...
I don't know. Oh. I don't have the bank on to me that really.
What's that regular more, like, you know if you got a loan years ago? PCR.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Jesus Christ. Reach back into my mind to pull that out.
I have one correction from last week where I told the story of Ginny Sullivan getting thrown into the water by a ghost in Care rebuilding the Colonel's house.
Okay.
Well, the correction is that it was actually Jimmy's father, or it was Ginny's father, Jimmy Sullivan.
Okay.
And Jimmy worked as a blacksmith in Burke's Forge. But he was in the fire brigade and responded to the call when the colonel's mansion burned down in 1962. And he was thrown into the river by a ghost while he was fighting the fire. Now, I've been saying, like, is it possible there was some sort of a backdraft from, like, somebody opened the door and there was a... and he got thrown into the river. But Jimmy Sullivan from Care... There you go. They said it was haunted and he was thrown into the river. So I'm going with that. But just before we finish up on ghosts, we have to play a golden moment from our favourite TV show, Most Haunted, where the host, Derek Acora. So you all know it. He goes to these really haunted places and then sometimes he gets possessed by the spirits that supposedly are in the room.
Or sometimes he lets on he gets possessed.
So in this clip, we're going to start out. He's talking to a woman and the voice you will hear is Derek Acora.
Not because, basically, I know the name Robert walks around, and I know Mary does.
So that's Derek talking.
Activity there with...
You all right? He's freaking out. Right. He's taking a fit.
What is it, Derek? You all right?
Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick. That's it.
Mary loves dick.
And you know what? It's perfect that the camera just zooms in on him lovely for that shot. So it hasn't been rehearsed at all by Derek Acora. God rest you, by some character. Now, let's move on to something a little bit happier. Boy bands. Owen emailed, have a story related to boy bands. I wouldn't really call this group a boy band, but anyway. A few years ago, myself and a few mates of mine went off to the Benicàssim Festival just south of Barcelona.
Benicàssim?
Yeah, I could be pronouncing that wrong. I'm not big on the festival scene, lad. Early bird tickets were €89 for the 3 days entertainment, which was going to be filled with huge musicians like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Kasabian, Biffy Clyro, Stormzy. They're all buzzing, as you can imagine. One other notorious Manchester musician was also making an appearance, who I will mention later. To cut expenses, myself and my best mate got a cheaper flight into Barcelona, which included a one-night stopover in Brussels. The pair of us had a mighty night in Brussels, drinking Belgian beers and chatting the absolute length of rope to the locals about this, that and the other. Two young single lads, we eventually ended up trying two girlos. Shots were flying in, the crack was 90, until I probably took one too many shots of vodka, which tipped me over the edge. My mate, on the other hand, was flirting away with your one, turning to me at one stage, describing his new friend as John B. It's a Ross O'Carroll Kelly reference. I don't get that. Anyway, while this was going, I had dipped out for fear I was going to spew everywhere all over the girls. I went stumbling down the street a little bit, looking to bum a fag off someone while getting a bit of fresh air. I perked up when I saw this lad wearing a tip jersey having a cigarette with his mates. I walked over, probably more stumbled over, asked any chance of a fag, lads. The group looked at me for a second, probably thinking, who is this sausage coming over here? The fella beside your man from tip held out his box to me anyway and gave me a light too. As I looked up to say thanks, I saw your man's face. It was fucking Liam Gallagher from Oasis.
No way.
Ah, now we're talking. Growing up, myself and my brother loved Oasis to bits. Stood there chatting away to your man from tip about hurling, football, sound fella, trying to play it cool while Liam stood there despondent, although he pitched in at one stage when Sligo came up. I think his man was born there. Eventually, it was time to go inside and I thought, fuck it, this is it. I'm going to party with Liam Gallagher tonight. I'm going to buy him a drink, let's go. Up them steps, this was going to be unreal. My master plan all drawn up using cigarettes and alcohol. As Liam turned to go inside, I broke my act of trying to play it cool. Liam, I loved your music growing up. I'm actually going to see you again in a few days in Benicàssim. Any chance I could buy you lads a drink? I thought he might have taken a light to me with my forward approach and cheekiness. Really, really trying to bum a fag off him, even though I didn't know it was him. He glanced over to his mate to get his attention and then turned back to me. Me there thinking I was about to be knighted into the group for one night only. And with a smirk and a pat on the shoulder, cool as you like, he goes, nah mate, fuck off, yeah. That was that. Great night.
That's Liam Gallagher. What are you going to do?
That's Liam Gallagher, man. That's class.
And following up on our episode about boy bands 3 episodes ago, mm-hmm. Graham said, we thought we needed some balance on the stories about the lads from Westlife because this thread has been going. We've been getting listener feedback about where people have bumped into Westlife on nights out, after gigs, in the chip or in the hardware store.
Can we just say it? All these stories are alleged. But definitely true.
I do want to say also that Westlife got dropped by the record label during the week. We're not saying it's completely our fault.
Mm-hmm. We've washed our hands of this now. We want to listen. When that announcement was made, I got sent it around 50 times on Instagram. People going, look what you've done.
Westlife have fallen out with the record company. So maybe the record company were listening to the podcast.
Yeah, the record company actually own a hardware store as well.
So Graham has a story for some balance, right? He worked in a chipper in Dublin while he was in college. It was pretty well known as far as chippers go. Loads of celebrities would come in and we had a wall of fame from Bruce Springsteen to the cast of Fair City. In 2012, Westlife had their farewell tour in Croke Park. Their first farewell, not their most recent farewell. Anyway, the nation was in mourning because Westlife were breaking up and anytime there's a gig in Croker, it's all anyone can talk about. The fact it was their last gig, it was all over the news, etc. On the Monday after the gig, who comes in? Nicky Byrne from Westlife. He pulled up to the shop and was getting grub while his family were in the car. He put in his order and he was waiting for it to be cooked. There was a few other customers waiting and it's a small enough chipper. There was this awkward silence in the shop as you could see the other customers in the shop trying to work out, Jesus, is that your man? So I turned around to him while his food was cooking and I said, well, did you get up that in the weekend? Then I asked him how his first day of being unemployed was, and that we were taking CVs if he fancied a new career path in fast food. He took it well, in fairness to him, and seemed to have got a good laugh out of it. He left us a nice tip and came back a few times after that. A top man in my book. Although he probably got back into his car and said to his wife, "You wouldn't believe what that little prick in the chipper just said to me."
In fairness to Nicky, we did.
He was sound to us.
He was sound to us. He played along with us at Comic Relief, in fairness to him. So, yeah.
And Des Cahill told him to fuck off on television. And several times off camera.
We had to do that around 4 or 5 times. And I was, for a finish, I was nearly going to just eat my fists when Des was just like, "It's a buzz, Nicky." And then he just goes, "Do you know what? Fuck off." And they beefed it out. Oh my God. Classic. No, something nice and wholesome for you. Didlows. James message. "Myself and a few of the college lads have been playing rugby sevens for a few years, mainly for the beer, you know yourself. Since we've all gone our separate ways since college, it's become a yearly reunion and the crack is mighty. For the last few years, we've quieted down and got ourselves girlfriends, and the women have been coming along too. Rugby, beer, tents in the town rugby club, few tunes, and of course a heap of riding. As you can imagine, there's a fair mix of personalities in this group. This brings me to our good friend, let's call him Ted, and Ted's woman, Daphne. Two very different individuals. Ted is the comedian in the group, and Daphne is a shy, small, and reserved girl. A bit of an unlikely match. I'm from the town where the sevens were being held, and because neither Ted or Daphne drive, I said I'd pick them up from the train station and bring them to their B&B. They're too posh to camp like the rest of us," he says. "Fast forward 3 days, a 2-day hangover, 1 empty bank account, 17 busted up tents, more injuries than we could count, but a night to remember. Ted and Daphne were gone back to their respected homes, and I was bringing my car for a service following the events of the sevens. I said I'd better get the car a quick clean and remove all evidence of the night. Cans, mucky boots, chicken filler, all papers, the whole lot. To my horror, on the floor under the driver's seat, peeping out at me, was a huge purple diddler. This yolk was the length of my forearm, and it was thicker than a tin of beans. I stared in shock at this absolute weapon and called my girlfriend out to have a look. It wasn't hers, as we thought about it, we realised that only two other people had been in the car, Ted and Daphne, so it had to be theirs. Small, timid and shy, Daphne was a freak. We're stood staring at this thing, and then my girlfriend says, 'What are we going to do with that yolk? We need to get rid of it.' Now, we both live with my parents, who are very reserved, so it's not like we could throw it into our kitchen bin or wheelie bin for fear they'd think it was ours. So we did what anyone would do. We took a spin out the motorway, and typical Conor Murray style, the missus spin passes the monstrosity of a purple dildo elephant trunk out the window, and with what I can only imagine the sound of helicopter propellers are soared through the air and onto the bank of the side of the motorway. We laughed about it, but to this day neither Ted or Daphne have ever mentioned the dildo. But I bet their night in the B&B wasn't as exciting as they had planned. Shout out to the motorway maintenance along the M9, because the lad who found that definitely earned his pay that day."
Who brings a dildo to like a rugby sevens competition?
Jesus Christ.
Wait, what?
Sounds big. If that's the girth of a tin of beans, like, Daphne must... Jesus, she must just...
I don't know where she's putting it. I don't know where she's putting it, lad. I'll tell you that now.
Jesus Christ, Daphne. God almighty.
I'm shook.
Like, we don't condone littering either, but like, is throwing a purple dildo littering? Fly tipping. What did you tip? Big massive dildo at the window. Ah, brilliant stuff.
They should be chipped. You know, like dildo, a puppy.
Yeah.
You'd like on the iPhone app, you know, where's my dildo? Okay, it's got heat sensors on it, like Strava. I can tell you borrowed it.
Yeah. Your heat map.
Yeah. Right, so be careful.
Dumping dildos.
Yeah, don't be dumping. Nurses, back to frontline workers.
Yes, come on,
you good things. Connor said, "My mom was a nurse for 25 years and she has some stories. She was working in England just after finishing her training when she gets a call in A&E about a man who's lost his foot. She was working nights. Now, this was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and this man was fairly scuttered. He was walking home from being out partying hard. He ended up walking along a railway track. A train comes along, not seeing the man, and it goes past him."
Oh,
The train goes over his ankle and severed it off.
Jesus Christ.
The paramedics brought it to hospital with him, hoping to be able to be fixed. Basically, my mam and her fellow nurse decided the foot was no good and they put it in the yellow solution bag to go into the incinerator. After 30 minutes, the man comes in. The surgeon reckons he can reattach the ankle as it hadn't severed any arteries or anything, and it was put on ice fairly rapidly. In the end, my mam and the other nurses had to search through bags of amputated feet on the way to be destroyed. And after 15 minutes of searching, they found the lucky foot and reattached it.
God almighty.
I have to say, my dad always told me a story when I was young. He was hurling a match and he, you know, got a slap of a hurl in the mouth and a tooth came out, playing out.
Mm.
And there was a dentist in the crowd. And they put his tooth into a glass of milk.
Oh, I've heard of this, yeah.
And brought it into the hospital and they reattached his tooth. It's still there.
Oh, my God.
Now, whether the milk helped or not, I don't know. But it's a good story. Can't imagine the physio now, a bottle of Avamore. Display.
Oh, hold on. We'll keep that tooth for later. Now, who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise, twojohnnies.ie, for more info? Who's going to get it, lads?
Maura, who'd you like for the mug?
I like the story of Liam Gallagher telling someone to fuck off in the, you know, most coolest Liam Gallagher way possible.
Yeah, I do like that. I also like the Nicky Byrne comment. Diddlaws is always up there.
Jesus Christ, great week. Fair play to y'all.
It's been a strong week.
Go on, get off the fence now. Come on, lads.
We should have like Two Johnny's dildos.
Well,
they'd be double ended.
Double the Johnny's, double the diddlo. Yeah, 100%. We need to like launch our own sex range.
Oh yeah, your condoms, your face diddlos. Will be on one end
and yours on the other.
Yeah,
be actually molds of our willies.
Andy,
it'll be pocket sized.
Travel dildo,
snack size.
Swiss Army dildo.
Right, who's winning this mug? Jesus Christ, come on.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Neil, who do you like? Neil
is going for Liam Gallagher. Okay.
Neil is back. He's been COVID tested and he's back.
He's back and fit as a fiddle. Liam Gallagher, you have won this week's Two Johnnies podcast mug. If you want to send an email to podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie with all your contact details, Maura will get the mug out. We get it out to you as quick as we can. Now, the weekly roundup. There's been a birthday this week.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the podcast birthday. The podcast turned 3 this week.
Da, da, da.
156 weeks, lad. Oh, yeah. My God. Did we go out and have a party? Oh, my God. We had a cup of tea and a slice of an iced log that Johnny B wrote on with a Sharpie. That's you know, we're party animals here at Two Johnnies HQ.
I didn't have an iced log since I was a baby, lad.
No.
An iced log is a proper like farmer dessert.
Yeah, didn't really do much for me now.
Just was grand.
No.
I had a slice of it now. Iced log is a good country dessert. I don't know if people
it's very dry, lad. What do you put in it? What accompaniment?
Butter.
Well, when I seen you yesterday, lad, you were eating it with no butter. The dry bread, man.
Yeah, but like I'd be ignorant.
Yeah.
Iced log is a bit like
it was lovely. I choked on it alright, it was so dry, but it was lovely.
Brack. It's like light brack.
Okay.
That's a proper farmer's
day's work.
A lot of lads out there now driving tractors and in if they have lunch with them or with the man in the van.
They're eating they iced logs.
And a slice of iced log with butter on it.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So it's mad. It's been a quick 3 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been so quick that we completely forgot until one listener texted us and said, wow, 156 episodes, 3 years, well done. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Then I told Max, and then our manager was like, do something, post something, come on. So we posted something.
We'll have a big party when this lockdown's over. We'll get fucking...
We'll be fucking 4 years at it by then.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, we're going crazy.
I want to say something. A lot of people last week, thousands of people have messaged asking, who was the band?
Oh, we're going to... Right, I tell
you
what.
Who was the band in the story? Everyone know, if you listen to last week's episode... An elderly famous Irish folk band getting up to shenanigans. I just want to clear the name of the Wolf Tones.
Yeah, can we? We'll eliminate one band. We will eventually reveal this. Possibly,
it's not the Wolf Tones.
It is not the Wolf Tones. We can confirm.
We can confirm that the Wolf Tones are just mad for Porter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they are not the band in question.
No,
So
it's not the Clancys, right? Because I think they've all passed away. So a few people asked, was it them? Yeah. It's definitely not them, all right?
We can eliminate the Clancy Saw and the Wolf Tones, but the search goes on for who is the band. And are we enjoying your guesses? My God, we are. So we might eliminate someone next week.
Well, it's not Hosier anyway.
It's not Hosier.
We got sent a package from the American Embassy.
Oh.
This is so weird. So there's a cup that says Cup O' Joe, and it's got Joe Biden on it. There's a pair of like aviator sunglasses.
Yeah.
There's a postcard.
And a bar of Hershey's.
Yeah, there's two American chocolates and a postcard with Joe Biden. And there's a face mask.
I flaked the face mask.
Johnny, I've taken it. American seal on one side. Are you enjoying it?
It's got the American like flag on one side of the mask, and then on the other side it's got the embassy, the logo.
Yeah,
and I have to say, I wore it in Super the other day and people took me very seriously. I was walking around the place just been like, I felt like I was a CIA agent or something.
Did you put your hand to your ear as if you had
a listening device?
I
wore a full earpiece and aviator sunglasses. Now, it was snowing at the time. People were giving me odd looks, like, you know, but I didn't care. I was winning. You look so important with it on. Honestly. Yeah, I thought it was class. I felt great.
I did have to get in contact with them and ask, why did the American Embassy send this to the two Johnnies?
Well,
and they said, we sent it to contacts and friends of the embassy to celebrate President's Day. So you can say the two Johnnies are friends of the embassy.
Brilliant. I tell you, we weren't friends with the embassy when your man wouldn't sign off my visa.
Yeah,
I was going demented inside in there. Remember, I came out, lad. I rang you. I was like a dog, because you'd gotten your visa like 5 minutes before me. You were after me.
Yeah, because I forgot my passport and had to go back to the hotel. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
The American Embassy is scary enough, man. Security's tight.
One of the scariest places I've ever been. Where you have to take the shoes off, no phones, no nothing, the whole lot. You got in and like I was explaining to your man. I was like, look, yeah, it's like I'm going out with RT. He was like, doesn't matter. I was like, oh, lad, do you know what I mean? I'm going to be coming home here soon.
Like RT are kind of a big deal in Ireland. Yeah. What the crack is in America.
Anyway, eventually I got my visa and we both have visas now for America.
Yeah, friends of the embassy.
Obviously we can't get there. But nonetheless, lockdown, lad, taking its toll on everyone.
Are you stressed?
Oh, it's an absolute lockdown. Has become, it's a pure yo-yo of emotions. I'm up and down, lad, like fucking, you know, like Saturday nights used to be, but but no, it's. Do you know what it is? I think Irish people just like to know what's going on. We like to feel like we're in on the conversation. Like we're like, at the moment, the way it seems is no one has a fucking clue, and there's no path set out for us, right? I'm not going to come on here and have a dig at the government, but it feels like we're training, right?
Yeah.
We're doing Operation Transformation, right? We're training like fuckers the whole time. So by staying in and doing our bit and, you know, obeying the rules, we're doing all the training.
Okay.
But then at night, someone's sneaking a load of McDonald's into us. And we're not losing the weight. So like, and by that I mean the government are letting in, playing loads of lads from fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're shitting down on top of us. As you said, the biggest strain at the moment in Ireland, the coronavirus, is the UK virus.
The UK variant, yeah.
Yeah. Hey. It didn't fucking come out of Shamrock Lounge.
Yeah,
it
didn't come out of the pub.
They're like, oh, the pub's open up at Christmas. That fuck, no. Everyone coming home fucked us up. So I just think we just need, give us a plan. Give us, at the moment, there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Just lockdown.
Just fucking misery. And I, for one, I'm getting sick of it now.
Yeah.
Give us fucking a roadmap and give it to us fast and stick to it.
What are you missing most?
Simple things. I really miss shaking hands with people, but it'll be a while before I'll be doing that. But like, I actually miss GA and I actually miss training, which I thought I'd never say because I fucking hate training. Jesus, now I'd give atin for some lads. Jeez, just
Momora Smacks often miss training, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'd never miss training, no, I promise you. I'd give atin to have some old lad roaring abuse at me. But no, I just miss going to a restaurant. I miss meeting my friends. I miss chatting. I miss open fires and pubs. And I, like, you know, I do miss pubs like everyone, but it's just simple things of being able to wake up in the morning and be like, I might go off and do that today.
Yeah.
It's fucking groundhog day for me every day. Do you know what I done the other day?
What?
Cleaned all my runners, every pair of them. Damn it, that's how fucking...
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It's getting fucking grim. But look, I know there's a lot of people feeling like that out there. But look, we will eventually, I'm sure, get out of this. But
yeah, in fairness to the government, they are going to announce something, I think, the week of February 22nd. So that's going to be their roadmap.
They're fucking time, aren't they? They're going to announce something. They're going to announce roadmap, and then after a week, they're going to be like, we're going to add in a couple of more things into the roadmap. 4.1, 4.2, 4.3. Jesus Christ. Look at the New Zealand boys. They're going to have the right concerts, boy.
I feel like
they're having a fly over there every weekend.
Ireland's COVID is like an update from Mac. You wake up one morning and it's like, oh, COVID has updated itself. Now we're on 5.2. Didn't have to accept cookies.
Oh, let's sort it out. Anyway, thanks a million to everyone who signed up to the Extra podcast as well, which is available on Patreon, and that's €6 a month. Can I just say, a lot of messages we get about the Patreon and stuff like that. So you're getting an extra podcast a week. It's a different format to this. It's mad as well. It's as crazy as this. So even if you subscribe now to Patreon, you'll still get the back catalogue. And also, this week we done a live Valentine's Day. We're singing.
Gigging.
Acting the bollocks, the whole lot.
Songs about riding.
Riding and shagging and all that. We done a live on it this week. And all of those obviously come when you become a patron. You can avail of all them. And on last week's extra podcast, number 47, we discussed some misheard music lyrics. Johnny B and his cherry chopsticks.
I thought like cherry chapstick.
No, it's like that's like Carmex, lad. Labello.
I know, but I thought she was saying her cherry chopsticks that like Kitty had been like licking around.
You're fucked up.
I thought this was the
You're a whole shade of messed up.
I thought that taste of her cherry chopsticks.
Oh, should she be using chopsticks
as a metaphor for her fanny?
That's a terrible metaphor. What?
Yeah, but sure. What do you want me to say?
Is what, women have spikes coming out of her fannies?
Draw chopsticks.
Look, I mean like
her cherry chopsticks. Like, I thought it was some sort of a thing for like.
Okay. Oh, fucking fannies aren't coming across. Do you ever lie back and wonder what you do with a heap of money? What would you do if you won the lotto or if you came from a wealthy family? Well, we've decided to explore what happens to people when they get wealth. Do they burn through the money? Do they invest it wisely? Would being rich make you act different?
Irish people have been raised on the notion that winning the lotto is the end of everything. If I won the lotto, I would buy a herd of elephants. And I get up in the back of the biggest one, and I'd paint him white, and I'd go into that crowd I hate, their J-pitch, and we'd muck it all up.
Shit everywhere.
We'd shit in the goal mouths, and with the whole lot, and then I'd be one of the big dicks going around town, and I'd sit in the square drinking espressos.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever else was going, and
drive a big fancy car.
There'd be no stopping me. And then I obviously, if you win the lotto or if you get money in Ireland, you have to start wearing a shirt and jumper. And then obviously, whatever, I don't know when they give you the check, they give you chinos and brown shoes.
To give you a lifetime membership of Gant.
Gant. There's your money and there's your leather driving gloves. Now off you go. So
you're a certified wanker.
Now, one time I won €800 on the county draw.
Did you?
Yeah.
You kept that quiet. I bet you still have it as well. How many years ago was it?
I invested it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much interest have you gotten in the bank?
Long gone. But now, true story, there is a fella in Care who apparently won...
Oh!
$250,000?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. $250,000, 300,000 or something, yeah.
Now, he's a gent.
Yeah. Well.
He acts like a gent.
Bit of an odd fish, isn't he?
Yes, he... Walks around town. As far as we all know, he's never worked.
Mm.
Goes to mass a good bit.
Always carries an umbrella.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know someone's cool.
Yeah.
If they have an umbrella.
He's got he's suave. He always has an umbrella.
And
even in summer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's for sun.
I met him in the pub one night and he was drinking sparkling water.
He doesn't drink.
I was in the pints and he did tell me that he won $250,000.
Did he?
Yeah. But as far as I'm aware, doesn't he still live at home?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the council house?
Yeah.
So I don't know whether to believe him or not.
Mm. Unless he's taking the approach of like paying himself a little wage every week off the 250.
Yeah.
I also met him in a pub one night. Now, he didn't admit to me that he won $250,000, but he did show me a lot of vintage videos of Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley. I was very pissed. I was like, honestly, I was like absolutely hammered. And I was sitting with this lad and he's like, do you want to see a cool video of Elvis, man? And I was like, I was like, go on to fuck. Yeah, go on. Get out there. Go on, show me. And around 20 minutes passing, the boys come over. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I was like, she said, I don't know. I was like, I'll see you later. Get up and was like, that lad was just showing me. And they were like, yeah, but you were sitting there watching him with him. Like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I don't know. I don't know, yeah. But he, the word is he won the lotto. It's fucking true. Okay. These are hidden recordings of Johnny Cash. He drinks sparkling water. And then, like, I did think it was a bit fucking weird. He's not drinking. That was the only thing I took away from it. Like.
Yeah.
Never mind that else.
I lived.
And he had the brolly with him too.
Oh, wow. You never know.
Even in the pub.
I lived with a man who never cooked and never did his own washing.
Did he win the law?
No, he was a professional gambler.
Okay.
He was tremendous fun, though.
Wow.
But he every day would go to, there was a nice, like, kind of gastro pub.
Carvery.
Yeah. And he'd get that maybe twice a day. And then outside that would just be maybe toast and cornflakes. Always went to the laundrette. That was his thing.
Definitely secretly won the lot all.
I did suspect that he had loads of money. Yeah, I don't know. What got it? Can we talk about what got us going?
Yes, 100%.
There's an amazing documentary on the RT player. If you're in Ireland, you can get this. It's called We Won the Lotto.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on the worldwide player, but it's definitely in Ireland.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Due diligence. We should have found that out.
And it follows the story of several Irish people who have won the lotto and gone public. Now, hardly anyone from Ireland goes public. This is
5% of lotto winners in Ireland go public.
So 95% remain anonymous.
Yeah, 95% are just tied up in lies. Trying to tell their neighbour that like, of course I can afford a Range Rover, you know, working in the ribbon factory. Why couldn't I? Like, I've been saving like mad. And they're like, they definitely won the lotto. Yeah.
Coupons.
What you don't want locally is all the stories going around that. Did you hear Johnny won the lotto? I already won the lotto. Yeah, 2.6 million. And then that's worse than actually, you're nearly as well off just saying, right, hands up, I won the lotto. Because the rumours are nearly worse. They'll kill you. But Ireland's such a small place, right?
Yeah.
If you do, like, if you're in the 5% who go public, right, fair play to you. The 95% are like, constantly looking over their shoulder, because you get the check and you lodge it in the bank and you telling me like some teller in the bank isn't like, Jesus Christ, Martin was in his overdraft last week, now there's 8.6 million in his bank account. You telling me like that lad sitting down doing his 9 to 5 in the bank isn't going to text one of his friends and go, hey, 8.6 million got lodged into Martin's bank account, wasn't that one in the law? Someone's going to know. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think they can do that, like, legally. Yeah.
Ah, you should, but your doctors can't either, like, or priests, but they're all fucking gossiping the whole time.
Yeah.
allegedly.
Priests, allegedly. Like, no, both priests and doctors swear oaths, like, so.
Oats, boats. Oats. What are you talking about? Christ. Oats. I ate oats for breakfast.
On the other hand, our US counterparts, 100% of people who win the lotto in the USA go public because you have to go public in the US.
It's great promotion for the lotto.
Of course it is. Yeah, the ultimate promotion.
All the top jackpots in the world, the first 10, are American. There's like the Powerball, the big game, the National Lottery. There's heaps of them.
Here's a little insight into the lotto in Ireland, right? 70% of lotto winners in Ireland are male. 70% are 45 years or older.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, do you just start playing the lotto when you get to the age where you're like, fuck, the end is coming?
I know.
I don't want to work forever. Now, I'm not saying 45 is old, but, like, you know, you probably are thinking, like, retirement in 20 years. Like, imagine win the lotto now. That's going to be that's retirement sorted.
Yeah.
You know, whereas at the moment I'm thinking, like, week to week.
Yeah.
And Keep her lit, bike. Do you know? We get to the end of the month, and if we're in plus, we're going well.
Max is dreaming about a new pair of football boots.
I'll get on to that later in the podcast. But 70% are 45 years old, and one in four winners' occupation is a driver.
Yeah.
So I was saying this to Johnny, like, one in four are drivers. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I reckon that's because they're in the shop the most. So if you're a driver, you're on the road, you're probably going into the deli, you're getting your petrol, you know, the whole lot. And while you're in the shop paying for your petrol, you may as well get the lotto. That's why they stick a big lotto sign in front of you at all the checkouts. Bang, you buy the lotto. That's why probably one in four are drivers. But the good thing about this documentary is it gives you a little behind the scenes look on the lotto. And if you win the Irish lotto, right, you obviously go up to collect your check. And then they bring you into a place called the Winner Suite, which has nice, you know, there's champagne and there's cool couches. And then they play you an instructional video of how you should handle winning the lotto. And it's Craig Doyle.
It's presented by Craig Doyle.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, so you've won the lotto. First of all, congratulations. It's like, you know, in Simpsons, like, hi, I'm Try McClure.
Yeah.
Now you've won the lotto. So it's Craig Doyle anyway, whatever, right? But they show the contrast then in the UK one, right? You win the UK lotto, they send you on a course, right? And I was like, that's very clever, like, you know, sending people on a course. You know,
these are all the things you're going to go through.
Yeah, how to handle your money. That's actually, you know, quite adult. That's good, yeah. And the English course isn't like that, though. One module of it is like some lad comes in with a load of supercars and goes, I'm going to give you a quick rundown on supercars. And you can see a load of people going who've just won millions going, ah, oh, I'm definitely getting a Ferrari. Like, and then they're like, module two, they bring in a celebrity stylist. And she's like, I'm going to show you how to dress like a celeb. And like, I'm thinking, don't do that. The money's not going to last you pissing. Then the fucking cherry on a very sweet cake is they bring in some champagne buff.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to tell you the difference between good and bad champagne. And how to travel first class. There's a class on how to travel in first class when you win the UK lottery. So basically, what God, the UK... What,
is it God forbid that you would embarrass yourself in front of the airplane staff.
Yeah, I actually travelled first class in a pair of shorts. They won't fucking beat that. But anyway, I reckon the UK lottery wants you to lose all your money.
Why?
Because you just buy more tickets than chasing the dream again. Or else they'll... Like, if you see Mary down the road driving like a Ferrari and it's like Mary won the lotto, then you're going to start buying lotto tickets, aren't you?
It's like how to be flash and advertise us.
Yes, that's it. It's all a big advertisement for the UK lotto. So like, I'm not surprised that loads of people lose their money, because when I seen that UK thing, it's crazy. Like, they basically bring you like supercar shop, like, in all fairness. Like,
yeah.
Madness. Absolutely.
Can we want to pick on one person especially who was on the documentary, and his name was Vincent Carney from Cove in County Cork. He won 1.1 million old Irish pounds.
Punts, yeah, punts.
Back in the 90s. And he bought the local dole office where he used to sign on.
He was signing on while he won the lotto. So I do give him kudos for that.
He bought the dole office, and Cove is famous for one thing, lads. The Titanic stopped there. And he turned the Dole office into a restaurant that was an exact replica of the dining area of the Titanic.
Yeah, and the smoking room from the Titanic.
And the restaurant didn't last long because, God love Vincent, he went broke. And he actually lost the house he was living in before he won the lotto.
And I say his original house that he... So he put his house up as collateral.
It was a nice house.
Yeah. It was a really nice house on the kind of coast in Cove. I'd say the house is worth a million, like, nowadays. 100%, like.
Ah, it's a good house.
Yeah, it's a good house, like. But he lost all that, poor old Vincent.
But I think you've got to be hard.
Mm.
Because one thing we've learned from talking to people who've won the lotto is you're getting a job done.
Yeah.
Whatever. You're getting the house painted, and everyone is like, that fucker won the lotto.
Yeah.
10 grand.
Yeah. One lad was on, he was like, I got me tarmac, or I got me...
the driveway.
I got me driveway done. You know, here I got a few slabs and a bit of tarmac. 60 grand to charge me. And I was just thinking, like, there's some lad came along now and has heard you're won the lotto and he screwed you. The same lad, one of the guys in the documentary who got that driveway done, he bought two pubs in town.
Yeah.
And he said, people sure won't even pay for the drink. They're like, sure, you won the lotto. Yeah. I'll have a free pint.
Throw us out a free pint.
Yeah, and he said, between free pints and... Lads, like, begging, like, he had a big bag and then he emptied it out on the table and it was just letters from people asking for money.
That'd be hard.
Yeah.
Like, if people were calling to your gaff, being like, oh, please, you know, I'm stuck and the child is after losing its two arms and its left ear, like, I need money, you know, and what are you going to do?
Burn them.
That's hard, kick people away. You gonna first thing you do,
electric gates.
I want a moat, like the castle. You know, the castle in Care is a moat.
I'd have James Hayes at the gate, like. Tour manager, just a big machine gun.
Do you know what's in my moat? Crocodiles.
Oh yeah,
I've got
the
money to do
now
it.
Now we're talking.
They survive in like fresh and salt water.
You're gonna have to win a lot of money, man, to be important crocodiles. Like, you're going full Joe Exotic here now.
Maybe I'll get a few tigers.
Yeah,
they could mate with the crocodiles.
I'd have like I definitely imply James Hayes, lad, at the door.
Big James.
Yeah, and I'd have him reading the post. And if it was like begging letters, he'd just burn them, like, in front of the postman. Be like, don't bring them here no more. You know, now James is a nice guy. He'd really have to develop quite a
thick skin.
Yeah, thick skin and a bad side. But it's like this documentary, and listen, this isn't a fucking ad for RT here or anything like that, but it is just a good documentary. It's nice viewing, handy viewing. It's very uniquely Irish. But it follows people who've won the lotto and some who went public and actually they all went public, the people that they followed.
There's one interesting woman who won $1 million in the English lotto. She lived in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
She won $1 million and she has planned on stretching this million to last her the rest of her life. She has done the maths on how much of a wage she can draw every year. As far as I understand, she hasn't invested any of it.
No. Now, she is a self claimed inventor. This woman is an inventor, and it's just as well she won the lotto, because she flagged a couple of her inventions on the actual documentary, and one of them was a snot blotter, which is basically
try and picture this, what he's describing.
Yeah,
picture,
honestly, I'm gonna try and paint you a little picture.
Made of plastic.
It's a plastic kind of, it's like a mini school bag. Think the smallest school bag you've ever seen, right? But you put it around your wrist. Do you remember, like, you used to get, like, you could hold like a wallet on your wrist? It's like that, but you put a tissue in it. And then, like, you obviously, like, you know, wipe your nose or blow your nose and you put the tissue back in. It's basically a hanky holder that you put on your wrist. And I looked at it and I said, God help you, girl, I'm kind of glad you won the lot, because you're not going to make much money at that, the snot blotter.
Well, I feel like her second million is going to be a lot harder than the first one. Listen, if you won...
No. Do you know what? The best invention she had was the glasses finder.
Oh, yeah.
Never lose your glasses. And do you know what it was? A fucking hook on the wall.
Yeah.
You just put your glasses on it. She's like, see, you'll never lose them. I was like,
now, to be fair, that was only a prototype.
Yeah.
€1 million. Say you win at age 30.
Yeah.
And you're hoping to live to
80.
Well, that's 50 years.
Yeah.
That's only 20 grand a year.
Mm. What's that a week?
Sure, that's 400 quid a week. Like. Not even, say. That's what the lotto would be, win the million.
Mm.
And sure.
Tax free, get the doll as well. Happy days. Not an absolute party, having a laugh.
Well, you don't have to pay tax in Ireland. You do in America. If you win the lotto, you have to hand a heap of it over in tax.
Yeah, that's an absolute dose. But just going back to some of the people who won the lotto, there was one guy who won it. He won 1.1 million. Gabriel is his name, and he was an asylum seeker from Romania.
Yes.
And he was afraid to come forward and claim his ticket because he was like, I'm an asylum seeker. He came here illegally on a truck.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't have any papers. But the Irish rules are like, if you win the lotto, we'll give you the money.
Yeah.
So anyway, Gabriel got the 1.1 million and then he moved back to Romania. Obviously, standard living is low,
cheaper
and stuff like that. And he now runs like two massive car garages, selling Skoda on one side and Opel on the other, and employs like over 150 people. And he's got like killer suits and drives like a sports car. It's like he has done well with the lotto, but that isn't always the case for people, because a lot of people go broke.
Yeah, in America, it's crazy. Is it almost 70% of people?
70% of USA lotto winners declare bankruptcy within 20 years.
It's insane.
Yeah, but like, you know.
It's America. we have a lot of Americans listening. How are you? We love you all. But to be fair, you're fucking mental, the lot of you. You're mad. All the Americans, you're grand.
We will no longer be friends of the American embassy.
Yeah. Yeah, but in fair, the American embassy sent us out sunglasses and a bar of Hershey's back.
Yeah. That is true.
They're all mad, the Americans.
But
you're a great crack.
Yeah, so they go broke.
They call it the 3 to 5 year curse.
Mm.
It's within years 3 to 5 of winning is when most people go bankrupt. From spending mad shit, not being aware of the taxes, giving away too much to friends and family. That obviously wouldn't affect you if you want.
we'll get on to that, man. In investments, though, like, a lot of people just make investments and like, you trust some fucking financial advisor and then bang,
the money's gone. In things you haven't a clue about.
Yeah, and no sign of the financial advisor. Can I just mention really quickly one of the things on the documentary? I know I keep going back to the documentary, but to me, it is probably the greatest thing I've ever seen. There's a syndicate called the Scruffy Murphy Syndicate.
Yeah.
And back in the mid-90s, they basically rigged the lotto.
They didn't rig the lotto.
They basically rigged the lotto. A load of lads got together. This lad done the maths on probabilities. So this is back when there was only 40 numbers in the lotto.
Yeah.
Or 30-something numbers in the lotto. And he was like, if we get 10 lads to pay 30 punts each a week, we can buy so many tickets that it'll increase our probability of winning the lotto like tenfold.
Mm.
So like, you can never really get to like, well, I'm guaranteed to win the lotto this weekend.
Yeah, but also there's a formula for it, that the numbers he chose, it's like a big wheel and you choose one number from each.
Yeah. He said it to a fella and your man was like, I'll tell you what, I'll get you 10 lads to pay into this. And then, bang, he came back with 10 lads, 30 punts each a week. 5 weeks into it, the boys win the lotto.
Oh, my God.
He was on the late and everything. You'd see it in the documentary. Like, he's on with Gay, and Gay's like, and you rigged the lotto. He's like, well, no, I didn't rig it now, Gay. Same as you, Johnny. He's like, oh, no, I didn't rig it. But that is probably one of the reasons why there's now 47 numbers in the Irish lotto.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to win
now. It's almost impossible to win, yeah. So
I don't even want to win the Irish lotto.
No, what are you after?
What 20 euro millions?
You want to go full Dolores McNamara, lad. 115 million she won.
And she's never spoken.
She's never spoken. Her press conference is brilliant. In the documentary, it shows it. Like, she's
her solicitor says to her, whatever they say to you, just nod and smile.
Yeah.
And she's asked about 40 questions. And she's just
brilliant.
Yeah. She just nods and smiles.
They're like, and are you excited to get back to Limerick? She's like, just smiles. Yeah. Smiling away, like, and it's great. Look, she's won 150 million. Yeah, fair play to her.
Papers and all would have been loving to catch her out.
Oh, 100%.
Get her to say something mental.
Yeah, 100%.
Maura, we're on our way up to County Meath now. I'd love to know what you would do if you won the lotto.
I created a vision board during the week. Have you ever heard of these? They're like where you create like little montages. So on it is like your goals and stuff you want to like, you know, you get in your life. So I think my first purchase would be a Ford Ranger in orange. That's the thing that I'm looking at. I have my vision board in the wall, and that's
orange.
A big fuck off Jeep, that you can't miss. Like, you know, that would like pull, you know, a horse box, no bother, or cat
in orange.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's
like burnt orange. It's
Jesus, I have one up here in the phone for you, Max.
Oh yeah, it doesn't look too bad now on the phone now. I was just picturing like the only orange car I ever seen was a lad from Ross Grey had a Starlet and it was orange and I was like, oh no, Maura, please, this isn't for
this
you.
This is tasteful. It's more kind of the Dukes of Hazzard orange.
Would you...
Known for being tasteful.
Mine is would the you, flag.
Sorry. Oh yeah, you don't want that. Would you keep quiet, Maura, or would you go public?
I would definitely keep quiet, yeah. Like,
how quiet now? Are you telling your family?
No, I wouldn't tell my family, but I'd certainly be like, you know, here's 20 grand, please fix up your driveway. Like, I got a bonus from RTE. Yeah, no, never mind the RTE's cash trap. They gave me a bonus, like.
Yeah, your family be going, jeez, that podcast Maura's doing must be going right well. She's after buying me a Mercedes. Jesus, she done up my driveway.
Smack's pulling into training with a pink stretch Hummer. Jesus, the boys are going mad in there.
No, do you know what? I know we touched on this years ago now. I can say at this point, when we done the Sugar Club live, we had done a real quick bit on what we do if we won the lotto. But watching this documentary and knowing the way the world is now has definitely changed my view on what I would do with the lotto.
Go on.
First of all, no way I'm going public.
Really?
Yeah, I would be like setting up a bank account like not in this country. So like that some German lad, when I deposit the money, will be like, oh my God, he has lodged 6 million and he won't know who I am. Right. You see, that's the problem. Local banks, local people. You know, if you go down to credit union lodge a million, lad, you're going to be in big trouble. Because they're going to tell everyone.
That's their sound.
They're going to tell everyone. Right? So I'm keeping it quiet, first of all.
Yeah.
And then, like, you see, we're in the two Johnnies now, and no one knows how well or bad we're doing.
Yeah.
So if I was to get a Range Rover...
Look, at this stage, even we can't remember which is lies and truth.
So if I was to get a Range Rover, which, Maura, that would be my version of a vision board, I'd have to try and justify it, but, like, I think I could pull it off. But I wouldn't go crazy. I wouldn't start buying elaborate stuff. And I tell you what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't invest. Because I don't trust anyone. Like, I have sat down with a financial advisor before. Can I just say, I don't have any money and I'm not worth 1.4 million like it says on the internet. I fucking wish I was. And I sat down with this lad, he was from Cork. And he talks about so much shit. After around a minute, I was like, right, I don't trust you. Not just because he was from Cork. But he was like, you give me, like, you know, if you pay the money into this, then I'll double it tenfold. I know a lad out in Japan now, he's running trades. And I was like, he left the house. And one of my friends with me, and I turned to him and was like, what the fuck, what's the story of that lad? He's like, he's a bit over the top, isn't he? I was like, yeah, don't ever bring him near me again. Like, I was trying to set a pension up, right, to secure a bit of my future. I wasn't trying to buy stocks in Japan. I was like, can I put like 30 quid a week into a pension? And this lad is here trying to get me to invest in fucking all sorts of stuff. By the end of it, I thought I was going to be like running oil or something. Jesus Christ.
I know a man in South Africa mining for rare metals.
Yeah. So I don't think I'd be investing. I think I'd be just holding on to the money. And every morning then I just get up and check my bank account.
And what about like your kids? Would you give them loads of money?
No, I don't really want to leave that to my kids.
Nothing?
Nothing. But like, I'd hate to win the lotto and your kids just grow up just thinking like, oh, I'm on a free ride, like I can do what I want and daddy's going to pay for it. Like,
yeah, but you as a good parent could instill different beliefs in them.
Ah, I won't have time for the good parenting stuff. Like, I'd just be like, do your own shit. And they're like, yeah, but daddy, you have a Range Rover and I'm driving the Micra that has no floor in it. I'm going, listen, you have to learn, son. You know what I mean?
Going around like the Flintstones, yeah.
This is all part of the ladder. That passed NCT 3 years ago. That car is perfect. I'd be careful. I'd be really careful. Because I think people growing up, although people who grow up in wealth know what to do with money. I think it's someone like me who like gets a ball of money and in a year's time I'm ringing Mara going, you wouldn't have the lend of a tenner, Mara. Would you? You wouldn't be able to get me 10.087. I'm going back to pay as you go on the phone.
That's the difference, man.
Sending people call me.
Difference between people who are used to having money,
oh, yeah,
getting money, and then people who come from not having money, getting money.
I think this is. I think we need to get an actual financial expert. Oh, can we 100%. Reach out to like someone, Mara?
Yeah, get someone on the podcast. Yeah,
because I'm conscious of time, and I know there's so much more to this. But before we finish, Johnny, what would you do with the lotto? Cares, shrewdest man. What would you do with the lotto? Bar buried under your mattress now.
How much now? Give me how much am I winning?
Okay, yeah. Okay, now I didn't have a number, but right, 2 million.
2 million.
Yeah. First of all, how much am I getting? You've won 2 million euro now.
How much are you getting?
No. You've won 2 million. I'm asking.
Yeah, how much would I give to you?
Yeah, would you buy me a car now? Honestly, now.
Ah, I'd probably give you 100 grand.
100 grand?
What? You never said how much you give me, like.
Like, right, if I won 2 million, I'd probably put like a good 500,000 into the two Johnnies.
Yeah, but that was my next point. Like.
Yeah, so like when we pull up to like a gig, we'd have like a massive stretch armor or like a transformer. That's cool shit. Like,
we'd have a
chopper.
People, is that Garth Brooks and his entire band? No, it's two Johnnies.
Yeah, with a big. Anyway, you've got 2 million, right? I'm getting 100 grand. That's decent. That's not bad.
It depends. Like, what are you going to do with it?
What, with the 100 grand?
I suppose if I give it to you, it's up to you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh no, that's not how it works. You don't go, here's 100 grand. What are you doing with that? I say, well, hey, thanks. Fuck off.
I have to see how you get on with it, and then I might give you another one.
Are you going to drip feed me money?
Well, if I give you 100 grand and then I come back a month later and you're like, hey, your man Hastings out with Pat or Ted, Smacks is there with a crown and gold Adidas runners on him, and he's like, well, lad, check out my new table tennis. It's made out of diamonds.
I've got grills in my teeth. Okay, you're 2 million, right? What else are you doing?
Probably do something mental for the guy. How much would like a full-size all-weather pitch cost?
Oh, that'd be a million.
Fuck, it'd be a bit of crack, wouldn't it?
Would you call it after yourself? John O'Brien Arena.
I'd have to think of something funny for it. Like, then every time they read it out on the radio, it'd be like,
yeah, that Clonmel commercials, 10 on Kill Sheelan in Noel Furlong Park.
No, yeah. And tonight's action in the Big Mickey Stadium or something. Actually, you'd have to give a load to charity and all. Like, I would, honestly.
Would sure. You honestly?
Yeah, money.
But sure, they'd know then.
Who'd know?
It'd be out then.
I'm sure you'd slip it to him.
Listen, St. Vincent de Paul going to run their mouth, lad. You can't trust anyone.
If we're giving money to charity, I want front page coverage.
Oh, yeah. You see, that's the thing.
News headline, two Johnnies are sound.
They're great, man. Give a load of money to charity.
Can be trended on Twitter, Johnny Sound.
Would you do up the house now? Like simple stuff. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'd be doing. You'd be doing up your house.
I need to do up the house.
Yeah.
But like I choose to do things like buy table tennis tables because it's great crack.
Yes.
The house can wait.
That was a joint venture now, I will say.
Yeah, but do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm getting that. Like, we could do up the house. That would be sensible. That's what a lot of people would do.
Yeah.
But like the main thing I want to take out of this is happiness.
Mm.
There's a big study done. Does winning the lotto make you happier? 55% of the lotto winners said yes. 43% of people who won the lotto said it made no difference to their happiness. And 2% of people said they were worse off after winning the lotto.
Jeez.
Money,
give me a lot of pressure.
Yeah, money isn't the answer.
No, I don't know. Money doesn't give happiness, but it does give freedom.
Yeah, but now if I had to be crying, I'd rather be doing it in a Lambo.
Yeah. Like, you know, if someone's going to break up with you and leave you alone, like, you'd rather be like, and just get into a Ferrari and take off, wouldn't you, like? Rather than being like...
I'm going to go home to my personal cinema.
Yeah.
I'm going to have Jeeves make me prawn toast. Going to get a head massage from that Indian guy I employed. You know, it's going to be a great day.
Oh, man. After, like, we'll wrap this up now, but I think this is a topic we'll have to revisit. And maybe we can get an expert in with us. And we can give financial advice because I know, like, and listen, don't worry, it won't be that lad from Cork. I've had him assassinate. We can give some financial because I could do with some, to be honest.
Money changes people, man.
Yeah, it does. 100%. 100%. Okay, claims the Cake O'Brien played full forward while sitting on a high stool and was lethal. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! How young fella?
Well, Noel, how are things?
You got snow?
A small bit, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't snow at all.
Wait, what was it?
You never got snow. Okay. You never even seen snow. I remember hard snow. Okay. I was 65.
Oh.
It was January. I was only small. And there was snow up to my ear. In fact... And it was hard snow. It didn't come down in flakes at all. It was like slithers from God. In fact, God was laying it off.
Let's see.
The milkman thought he was in Croke Park. A lot of people don't know this. I was the best man in the county to throw snowballs. Oh. That's a fact. You can bet your skinny jeans on it, right? I could knock the pint out of a priest's hand from 100 yards.
Oh my God.
I never missed. But I missed once. I never missed. I went to knock Paddy Dillon off the roof of the creamery. Right? Because he wouldn't serve me. I would need to buy a tractor. And he wouldn't serve me.
Why?
Well, I was only 9. And I had no money. So you could fuck him. He was up gathering pigeon eggs on the roof of the creamery. I was in the convent borrowing diesel. And
borrowing
these. Yeah, well, you know yourself now. I spotted Dylan and Hennessy was with him. Now, I blew that fucker off his arse, no problem, right? I must have been a mile away. I was a mile away if I was a foot. But I had good eyesight when I was young now. Hawkeye Nolly, he was calling me, right? Frankie Berry. You know Frankie Berry out the road?
Yeah.
He was the only man who could see as far as me. As a fact. And his nickname was Eagle Eye Berry. But on this day, I threw the snowball. And this was the one time I ever missed. Because I never missed. But this day I missed. Some people say that snowball is still going. Possibly responsible for global warming.
Warning.
And now people are very worried about this now.
No, it's global warming.
Global warning. Global warning. It sounds fucking scary enough. I don't know. You know what I mean? I hope it never turns out. So, anyway.
Never mind.
Global warning. It's freaks the shit out of me. It's fucking scary. Right. The KGB. Bit of news.
Lovely.
Right? The KGB. And not here in town, the Kitty Gallagher Brigade. And that fucking crowd of hers. But no, the KGB is the Komet Gosodarstrovnyov Bezopaznatsi, which is Russian for fuck the Yanks. Or something like that.
Something like that, okay.
So the KGB is the Russian Secret Service. Not to be confused with the Clamel Secret Service, which I'm fairly sure is prostitutes.
Jesus.
If you ring the takeaway and ask for a secret service, I think you get a hand shandy and a farmhouse burger.
Okay. Well, some combo.
Well, the double burger meal, they send you out two women. I was talking to Scabby Johnson. He said he was lucky. He was lucky he came out of it alive. After the doing they gave him. I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't be ordering a doner kebab here. KGB. The Russians, they used to be always spying on America. Well, what he had? What he had?
What he had?
Right? And the Russian Boy Scouts, they once gave a carved wooden statue to the American ambassador abroad in Russia. We were talking about the embassy. Well, there's an American embassy in Russia. And the Boy Scouts gave him a wooden statue. And inside in it was a listening device.
Listening?
They'd be spying in America. They'd be listening. What he at? What he at? So the Russian Boy Scouts gave a wooden statue to the American embassy abroad in Russia. And inside in it was a listening device. And they could listen to what the Americans were at.
Listening.
And the Yanks only found out they were listening 15 years later when the Russians shot down an American spy plane.
Oh.
And what was that type of spy plane called? A U-2.
Wow.
And that's where Bono and the lads... That's where Bono and the boys got the name for the group. What type of spy plane? Yes.
Bono.
We could nearly do it if we were spying ourselves in town. Did you hear who moved into town?
Who?
Did you hear who moved into town?
No.
The drug man.
Who? The drug man?
The drug man.
The drug man?
The drug man is in town.
Oh my God.
Cameron heard it in the shop. There's a man, he got a house in the estate and he's from the city. And he's a drug man. He's supposed to be selling drugs.
How?
This is what people are saying. He's a drug man. I heard he's knocking off one in town.
Okay.
Drug man. The drug man is knocking on one. Right?
Right.
You know, Wanda Sweeney's. Right? And no surprise to that. Huh? Her knickers are on and off like a postman's indicator.
Oh, no.
God.
Desperate. She's bad as Snow White. Huh? One house with seven lads in it, one woman. Desperate. Was she the band on tea? Was she? Snow White. I knew all them whites. Fucking rough crowd, by. Desperate. So I said, we're going to have to sort out this drug man, right? We're going to have to sort out this drug man. I sent John Paul in to do a sting operation.
Okay.
Now, when I say sting operation, that doesn't mean sing a song and become a vegetarian. We had the guards on standby. And I said to John Paul, do you know where the one the Sweeney's lives? And he said, oh, I do. No fucking surprise there. He's seen more boxes than Jeff Bezos. He went in anyway, right? And he said, he came back to me and he said, your man have no drugs. And I said, the ignorant bastard refusing to sell my son drugs. I went in and I caught him. And I said, listen here, you cheeky punk. Listen here, you cheeky punk. I know you're selling drugs. And we don't want any crime in this town. Out with you, you scumbag. I said, I'm not afraid of you.
Punk.
Get out of this town, you punk. But it turns out he was selling power tools. Are they stolen? I don't know, but I did get a battery drill for 20 euro. He's not a bad old fella.
It's, you know.
He's not a bad old fella.
The drug man.
Well, I don't know. The guards come on in. And they said, no, you can't be out. You have to go home. Because of the virus.
Oh, yeah.
They said, very hard on old people. They said, like, what would you do if you got sick? And they said, Noel, were you ever bedridden? I said, several times and once in a van. Well, the point I'm trying to make is...
Very good.
There's a museum to all this Russian KGB stuff.
Yeah.
The Cold War, the Cold War. And it's in New York, but they had no tourists, so they're selling off all the stuff.
All right.
So if you want to buy a recorder that looks like a pack of cigarettes or a ring that have a camera in it from the 70s, you can buy all that if you go on to Julian's Auctions. Put that into Google and you can buy all the Russian spy equipment.
Wow.
Now, keep you interested in lockdown. Just to follow up on last week.
Yes.
I was telling you about the first time I ever went senior training.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the first match I played at senior?
No, I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Yes, with some team.
Was it?
Who would have been wing back that time was I was centre back. And then I was kind of awesome midfield, right?
Okay.
Who was with me was Black Bill. Do you know Black Bill?
No.
The Isle Man. Now, he's a ginger, but he's a fucking stink going around the place. Dan Bryan had the song about him, do you know? Whoa, Black Bill, bam a lamb. Because he loves lamb.
Yeah,
bam a lamb. Oh, Black Billy. Just then, Brian said to me, if lockdown goes any longer, he'd have to start talking to the wife. That woman never stops yapping. He once said he went 6 months without saying a word to her.
Wow.
I said, why? And he said, I didn't want to interrupt her. Black Bill, right? But later then, that was a great team. But Black Bill was replaced by Paddy Fong on the wing. He'd be up and down. He'd stay going all day for Paddy Fong. I meant to tell you, did you know Paddy Fong was in a band?
No.
Called No Hassle. They were a tribute band to No Doubt. I was young at the time, anyway, in this game, right? I was bombing around the pitch. Yeah. I was like a hairdresser running from the revenue, right? But when I was young now. When I got in front of goal, I'd say I had all the accuracy of a Ryanair flight. No. But I was fit. I was hopping.
Yeah.
There was only 5 minutes left in the game. And the sides were level. The keeper went to kick out the ball up into the air. I jumped up so high for the ball. I jumped up so high for the kick out. They were shouting, come down, the game is over. That's a fact.
Oh my God.
Come down with you, the game is over. And that was football back in those days. Is different. I must have been up to a quarter of an hour. Young fellas nowadays can't jump at all.
Did you win?
It was a draw. They gave a draw in the end.
Come down the game.
That's a fact. I'd like to thank... Thank you for having me on.
No problem.
Every week now.
3 years.
3 years, bye.
Yeah.
Fuck it, you owe me some twine.
Hopefully we'll win the lotto.
Good luck.
See you later. Thanks a million. Right, we let her ask us anything as long as it doesn't have anything got to do with periods. Maureen, what is your mystery topic this week?
I'm not asking you about period sex, however. I'm going to ask you about anal sex. What's the big deal with it, lads? You seem to have...
Jesus, can we just say, if you're in the car with your parents, just crash it. Just crash right now and just set fire to the car. And your parents.
It would be easier to bury several of your loved ones than have to talk about
this. Have to listen
this.
To what this is, yeah.
Okay, so while you're thinking, what the fuck do I say to that question? I'm going to give you some background on this behavior and some interesting statistics about it. So, in the US, apparently 36% of women and 44% of men aged 25 to 44 have tried it. Now, I'm talking about heterosexual couples here. I'm talking about anal sex and heterosexual. Mm. If you're in a homosexual couple, like, obviously, you know, that's different. But it seems to be the kind of thing that's getting more popular between women and men. Now, you know Gwyneth Paltrow's website, Goop. Have you heard of it?
Goop?
No,
Goop.
But does it have something to do with Narsol?
No. No, Goop is Gwyneth Paltrow's lifestyle website. And she looks into all different types of things. Like, but she did look into, when did heterosexual anal sex start to become a thing? And they asked research psychoanalyst and author Paul Joannides, I hope I'm saying that right, about it. And he said, in the 80s, I remember hearing from a friend that he had a videotape of anal porn. This seemed shocking at the time. Since porn has become as easy to access as YouTube, porn producers have to fight for clicks. So porn has become more extreme. I'd say that by 2005, porn had blurred the distinction between a woman's anus and vagina. This wasn't because women were begging their lovers for anal. It's because porn producers were afraid you'd click on someone else's porn if they weren't upping the ante in terms of shock value. And he also says that anal sex is something that, out of research he's done, between 10 and 15% of straight couples do it. And if you ask them how often they do it, they say that maybe they'll have anal once for every 5 to 10 times that they have vaginal intercourse. Now, you might be wondering why women participated in it. And actually, a 2014 research paper from the Archives of Sexual Behaviour looked at it. And women reported negative physical experiences of AI. That's what they're calling anal intercourse here. Such as...
The farmers have tuned back in.
Yeah, AI. So were pain and disliking the sensation and uncomfortable side effects such as bleeding of the rectum.
Jesus!
Negative emotional experiences of AI included feelings of shame, disgust and being offended by something her male partner did, such as spitting on his penis for lubrication. Positive physical experiences included liking the sensation. Many of the women also endorsed positive experiences of AI, including it was more intimate than vaginal sex and that it was something that they only reserved for special partners. The majority of AI episodes were unplanned and were pain was mitigated by the use of lubricants or illicit drugs. Women who found AI who did find pleasure in AI, they did express a preference for vaginal for the normal way. So I'm wondering, why do men? It seems to be a thing that's gotten more popular. Why are men into it? If they're into females, why are they into anal sex?
Right.
sorry.
Are you watching the Laker Gale or Johnny Pilkington during the week? No.
Is that my phone ringing?
Is that my phone?
Hello, Ma. She's at it again.
What? Johnny, you're my expert on American...
Jesus, why don't... What?
No, on American Pie.
Yeah? He's dogging a pie, lad.
But isn't there a bit in that where... Someone
no,
gets
that's oral pleasure you're thinking.
No, someone gets a finger up the bum. Is it Stifler or someone? Is that in American Pie 2 or 3? He gets a finger up the bum and says he loves it.
No, that's Road Trip. He gets his prostate milked by a nurse, isn't it?
Right.
It's that the same it, actor, yeah. But it's not American Pie. It's Road Trip.
Anyway, just, I had to start somewhere, okay. So I thought I'd start there.
Cheers, lad. I thought the tone couldn't get any lower.
I'm going to be totally honest now and say I've never tried it. And it wouldn't bother me at all. I'm die happy never trying it. But obviously, as Mara said, a lot of people do.
I never go in the back door.
Fuck it, I never go in the back door. sorry. There was a lad down here who used to go like Monday drinking. And he'd say to us, I never go in the back door. And then he got out of the car and walked straight in the back door. Anyway.
Back to back doors.
It wouldn't bother me now. Obviously, a lot of people do it. And... One thing to pick up on there, I don't think it's something to be ashamed about. And if a certain percentage of women did feel ashamed about it, it must be like, you know, it's not what he said, it's the way he said it. So maybe he like did it in a disrespectful manner. Obviously, all these things should be agreed upon. Mm. I can only imagine that men are doing it for variety.
I don't know. Maybe the term of it is just like, look, there's not great terms on riding. Like, you know, it's like riding, you know, shagging, whatever. But like, I want to bum you. It's just a whole different way. Like, can I bum you? Oh, he bummed me. It just doesn't sound great, does it?
Are you a big fan of the bumming yourself, John?
Give a shit.
No.
Give a shit. No, no interest. Listen, I'm just happy to be
at it at all.
Yeah, listen. Her family listens to this.
Well, on the porn thing, though, I guess there became a time when porn had to become more wide-ranging, as Maura said. Like
Porn's gone fucking. They're pissing on each other and all sorts of mad shit. Jesus Christ. What's next? Like, honestly, I guarantee you can watch ones like where, like, they're fucking doing weird shit, like baiting each other and stuff, do you know?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you hear that?
One the last time we don't try it.
Farmer's Journal.
Yeah, you know, like, it's all mad stuff, like.
Yeah, I'd say, but watch that Louis II documentary on porn, and it seems like it's just going to get wilder. And
lads are probably watching more of it as well.
Yeah, I'd say it's the kind of thing that if you watch some of it, you become kind of immune to it or just doesn't stimulate enough. So you start looking for madder and madder stuff. So, but
I'm going to have to talk to somebody who's mad about the...
Who's big on the porn scene.
Who's big on bumming. Because I said, honest to God, no, hand in heart, I've never tried it. I love riding, like normal riding.
Yeah.
So I've never gone like, you know, that's not doing it for me now.
It's gone too big.
No, that's never happened to me. I must talk to somebody who loves it and get them to explain why they're at it at all.
Well, it's actually like some people like try it and it goes badly wrong for them, like because it's actually fairly hard to do. So, like Paul Ioannis, I hope I'm saying his name right, has some advice for attempting it. So he said, no. So the first thing a woman needs to do if they're on the receiving end is to teach their sphincter muscles to relax enough so that a penis can get past their gates. That takes a lot of practice, apparently, and unlike the vagina. The anus has no lubrication, so in addition to teaching the sphincters to relax, you need to get getting the angle right, so you don't poke the receiver in the wall of the rectum. You need to use lots of lube. They show none of this in porn, nor do they show communication, feedback, or trust. Couples who do not have excellent sexual communication or who don't feel freely to give and receive feedback about what feels good and what doesn't, and those who don't have a high level of trust should not be having anal sex. And he also says, don't use numbing lube or do it while you're drunk or stoned, because pain is an important indicator and you don't want to do any damage. So,
do you know what we need now? We need season 2 of Normal People.
Yeah, or Connell to tactfully explain
and
this.
Marianne.
Bum each other.
Yeah, but not each other.
You never know. It's probably available too.
Yeah.
It would be a Pegging. Great way to... They did broach sex so well in the first series.
Yeah.
Maybe in the second series they get into sex toys and he'd be like, no, Marianne, I just, you know, I just... like the big purple one. I don't know why. It's just
listen, I don't know. If the key doesn't fit in the door, don't try and squash it in.
Can I say one thing, just picking out a point that Johnny B there said about women feeling shame? Some of that I think can do with the way lads brag about it. So I know one guy, right, who got with this girl and then went around telling the office, oh yeah, I got DP with her. Yeah, double penetration. Like, and it was just like,
oh, what a spa.
Oh,
what a sap.
Yeah, we're all just like, why would you tell anybody that? Like, you know, so it's like, it reflected more, like, it reflected so badly on him. Like, so everybody.
Not all men are the same.
Yeah.
Can I just say, for the men out there.
Everybody who's formerly worked at Maura is like, who was that? So, Maura, we're just going to have to ask you if you
was it the Farmer's Journal?
No, Maura, since you brought it up, have you tried it yourself?
Tried it unsuccessfully, but then did try it successfully, but was very, very drunk. So, like, yeah, it's, I don't, you know, you'd have to be like, for that to be a good idea. But, like, you know, with your boyfriend. It's probably the kind of thing when you're with someone a while, you're like, should we try it for the crack? Like, but, you know, at the same time, wouldn't be something that you'd be like, oh, definitely going to try that again sober. So,
you know, do you know?
Right.
Like, nowadays, the things me and Smacks do when we're drunk, like the mistakes we make are like, oh, I got garlic chips. Like, you know?
Yeah. I can't believe I ate a kebab last night. Right, I'm off to have a shower. I feel dirty after that. Don't forget,
Smacks going putting Jay's food in his ears.
Oh, Jesus. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. It's the number two to get in touch. You can email us podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. Any correspondence or any future topics you want to hear discussed. And you can get us on Instagram @thetwojohnnies. And you can still watch our television show, Two Johnnies Do America, on the RT player if you just want to get a bit of visual Johnnies in your life. Now, time to end the podcast, as is tradition, John, with our yurts
and darts of the week. I just want to say, because I know you're feeling a bit uncomfortable about that.
Yeah.
But isn't that what we do here? Like, anal sex happens. People are, like, afraid to talk about it. So we take the plunge and we talk about it.
100%.
Thank you, Maura. Just Max didn't say it, but I'm going to say it. Thank you, Maura. I really enjoyed that.
Thanks, Maura. For the entirety of that, I was thinking that my mother listens to this podcast.
Yeah. Mine does too, but she's used to my shit.
Yeah, there you go. On the bummers. To all you bummers out there. Up bumming. Up tip up bumming. That's a good name for the podcast, isn't it? Tip up bumming. Ah, oh, Jesus. Right, Johnny, yurts and dirts. What have you got?
Last week you were talking about Missy Elliott.
Yes.
And her rap. So the line is, I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
Yeah.
And then they play it backwards, yes. And it's all like, yes. Got another famous one of them. Call Me Al. You know the mad bass solo in the middle?
Yeah.
That bass solo is like almost impossible to get right because he does this run on the bass guitar for like whatever it is, 8 bars. Then in the studio, they reversed it and added it onto the end of it.
Wow.
So that's, the first half is normal, and then the second half is the tape backwards added on. Because like every cover band you've ever seen,
I've tried it.
It gets to that bit, and the bass player's like, oh shit, oh, fuck it, because it's impossible to do it.
I got a great one from someone replying to my Missy Elliott thing from last week's podcast, where a girl said, thanks for the Missy Elliott hack. Because for years she thought it was, did the girls get their knickers wet yet?
Yeah.
which it does quite sound like that. So I really enjoyed that one during the week. That's a good one as well, John.
Couple of small other yurts shout outs to who sent us this? David sent us a lovely Donegal keeper's jersey that doesn't fit either of us, but it's proudly on the wall.
It's on display.
And I'm a bit jealous. In Sydney this week, there was a big hurling tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Cusack's GAA and all the boys out there. Shamrocks and everybody. It's lovely to see you all out there hurling.
It's also
having,
heartbreaking.
Having the crack, and you're all having such fun there on the beach and all. Yeah, we're fucking delighted for the lot of you.
And true, he said that through gritted teeth. But best of luck to you. I hope you're all enjoying it out in Sydney and the rest of Australia and New Zealand, the whole lot. You're going well, as they say. Yurt of the week, double yurt, real quick. Bought new boots during the week.
Hiking boots?
No, man. Got myself, like, I always call them soccer boots. But
you
like
do,
I suppose
yeah.
I will be playing GA in them and not soccer. But
football boots.
Got Predators from the year 2000. By
wow.
Got them on retroboots.ie. So I've been checking their website for fucking a couple of weeks, like keeping an eye out, because they'll often pop up like, you know, old boots and they'll be gone, like, because a lot of people looking for them, like they're quite collector's items. So one popped up and I just bought them straight away. And you know, I said nothing or anything, and Retro Boots then obviously copped the name and the delivery address.
Yeah.
And sent me a couple of bars and a can of Guinness and a couple of Gaelic football gloves, pair for you as well.
No way.
Yeah. So shout out to the lads in retroboots.ie. I bought the boots. This isn't an ad, right? But I reckon I'm definitely going to score like 1.5 a game. You're guaranteed with those.
They were made in the year 2000.
Mm.
Good condition?
They're second hand.
Yes.
But they're in unbelievable condition.
And when you put them on, do they feel different to modern boots like 21 years later?
They feel a bit heavier, all right, but that's probably like boots have gotten lighter. But I like a good heavy boot by.
What studs are on them?
They're blades, multi-stud blades.
Blades?
Yeah, old school.
Does anyone use blades anymore?
Ah, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
And can I ask how much you paid for them?
I paid 250 quid for them.
What?
Worth it?
Yeah, fucking 100% worth it.
Wait,
and they're in the unbelievable condition.
A brand new pair of Predator boots now.
Predator boots now, you're probably looking at 200, aren't you?
100. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So I,
and they have like, the new boots have like big ankles on them, or like socks and stuff like.
Yeah.
Seen new boots like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I can hear more shocks down the line, and I want to say that like, football boots are expensive anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. For real ones, yeah.
Yeah, for real ones.
Yeah, you can pay for the real shit.
Have you always had good boots?
Yeah. I used to have my name on my boots.
What, embroidered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They used to get me a right good kicking. Yeah.
What, would you be marking a lad?
Oh, yeah, you'd be like, fancy boots, yeah. Oh, do you like, great man with your boots, like. Kick the fucking shit out of me then. But sure, look, if I got a penalty over, what about it? It's worth it.
Was it worse in soccer or GA?
Oh, I never wore the embroidered ones in GA. You mad? You may as well go around with a sticker on your back saying, hey, bait the shite on me there. No, I only wore them playing soccer.
Had you flashy ones or like
I had gold mercurial vapors at one stage with JM9 on them. That was when I went to the Kennedy Cup. And then I had F50s, blue F50s with an Ireland flag.
They're the Nike ones, are they?
No, Adidas. And they were blue and they had an Ireland flag and JMCM on them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What age were you when you had them?
Probably from 13 to like 16.
And what age were you when you had the gold ones?
I had them when I was 13. Then I got the F50s after them. Like, so that 3-year period, I had those two pairs of boots. And then by the time I got 16, I was like, start wearing black boots. Yeah. You want to be bringing less attention to yourself. So yeah, now we've got the Predators, so they'll probably get my legs taken off.
No, they don't look that flashy.
They don't look that flashy, just look class.
Great boot. You reckon they're the best boot of all time?
I would say so, yeah. Any of the old school Predators are definitely the best.
Who wore them?
Beckham, Zidane, Gerrard, all the greats. Boy.
Okay, and Johnny Smacks.
And obviously, they're adding me to that list. My other real quick yurt, an Instagram page, Only Scrans.
Right.
Lad in the UK. If you like food porn like me, do you know what I mean? Stay away from the bumming and maybe get on down the Only Scrans. This lad, just he puts up recipes and cool, like, I seen a picture of the kebab last week, and obviously, you know, I'm trying to eat healthy. I'll get onto my yurt in a second. And I seen the kebab, I was like, oh my God. And then I went locally and got a kebab. It doesn't look anything like the photo on Only Scrans. So if you like getting cool food ideas and looking at that, that's a cool Instagram page. Can again, this isn't an ad. I just like that Instagram page.
I have to say that, like, kebab porn is probably like the food equivalent of bumming.
Very good.
People often feel ashamed after it, but like a certain percentage get off on it.
Yeah. I do get off on the class. Dirt.
My dirt of the week is, so my 7th Max are trying to do a bit of running lately. Oh, GA is eventually going to happen. And so we had to do this target of like a certain distance. And I have a watch, like an Apple Watch, and I can't get the shagging thing to stop. I don't know on Strava. Can somebody tell me, can you program a distance? Because I'm trying to stop at an exact distance and I'm running with the watch, and then I overran by 60 meters and I didn't have the legs to do another one. So I just had to go with that one.
Yeah, that's all right. I've already done two of these time trials, and like, I've seen what the other lads have put in the group time-wise and I have like not saved my run twice because I haven't hit, like, I don't want to put in a scandalous time like where I'm like 50 seconds out from everyone else. So I'm now going to have to attempt it for a third time. This morning I almost punched myself in anger. So it hasn't been going well for me. My dirt is also, right, I'm trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know what? Seeing on some program that like lentil tatoes are a thing, like lentil crisps.
No way.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, they're meant to be like, fuck all calories and still have a bit of taste. I got them. Dirt.
Go away.
You may as well see that box. Look, see that cardboard box. May as well be in there.
Go away.
What
flavour are they supposed to be?
They're meant to be like sour cream and onion, which is like the green Pringles that I really like. And then I got these lentil crisps and it's like someone got a bit of salt, put it on the fucking end of my shoe and put it in a bag and gave it to me. So nish for the lentil tatoes.
Back to the spuds.
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah. Like, look, I was only going to have them as a treat.
Let's try something different.
Yeah, but it wasn't a treat, so. If anybody knows of any, like, Snackajacks, I know they're kind of quite light in calories, but okay. Like, they're not really tatoes. So if anybody knows of any alternatives, do let me know.
Shout out to all the spud farmers out there.
There you go, boys. I'm going back on O'Donnell's next week. Don't worry, boys.
Haven't
salt
turned
vinegar.
Our back on you.
Hardcore. I was just trying something new. It didn't work out, you know. I'm not going to make a bumming reference.
All the men in tractors out there, this for ye.
This for ye by Spuds. On the Spuds. That's it for this week. We hope you're all keeping well and you're in good old form. And look, someday we'll all be back in the big tent. And for anyone asking us about the marquee, it is still sold out. Is it going ahead? Your guess is as good as mine. If you were to ask me, I'd say probably not. Considering...
Ask Leo Radker and Micheál Martin.
Yeah, considering we're in a level 5 lockdown and it's the end of February, or it's February, will a 4,500-seater gig go ahead the end of May? Your guess is as good as ours. But we don't know. We don't have any information. As soon as we do, we'll share it with you.
You were talking about lentil crisps. Maura said she had a quick yurt. Do you want to tell us about?
Oh, alcohol-free Prosecco. It's called No Secco. Very tasty. And it's nice waking up without a hangover. So, yeah, thumbs up.
Could you tell the difference?
It was a little bit sweeter. But no, I couldn't really. The only thing that I didn't know was that I didn't start slurring my words after 3 glasses. So
I didn't start slurring my words and do bumming.
So a win-win all around.
Yeah, win-win all around for Maura on the No Secco. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Up tip of bumming. Go on, good luck.
Good luck.